Acts chapter 6. This morning I'm going to talk to you about the church of Antioch. The church at Antioch. And this church, boy, I'm telling you, was a tremendous church. And I'll tell you, I don't know if Pastor Dave could do it in one message or not. It might take him two. Someday I might. He does a thing in his King James Bible about Antioch and Alexandria. And I'm telling you right now, it's phenomenal. Someday, David, I'd like you to do that here in the church services. I don't know if you could do it. Could you do it in one, or would it take two services to do it? And you should see the comparison of God's word on how the word of God reflects how special Antioch is and how Alexander is kind of put down. And see, you got your manuscripts. Your King James Bible comes from Antioch, the text. And all the other perversions come from Egypt and Alexandria. And so, pretty exciting. But today I'm just going to share. I'm going to probably teach you more than I'm going to preach at you this morning. But this is what the Lord put on my heart. I know Brother Dave was even teaching on the church. And I'm glad about that. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Acts chapter 6. Good to see each one of you today. God bless you. Good to see each one of you. You had two trust Christ yesterday on soul winning, and they're here today, and we're thankful for that couple, and how special it is. I'm just glad to see people getting saved and on their way to heaven, amen? Amen. We sent away and by mail for that heater for the baptistry, and probably within a week or two we'll get it, because we had Thanksgiving last week, so the mail's not going to be going out as fast as it normally would, and then, of course, coming back. They said take at least 1 or 2 weeks to get the thing. So we're hopefully within before Christmas, at least before Christmas, we'll have our heater back. We can do some more baptizing, amen, in warm water. All righty, Brittany Foreman, it's so great, it's good to see you. Jordan, so great to see you. Danny had to go, he had to leave already, but I'm so glad to see our kids from college here, amen. Make sure you get by and say hi to them. We're so glad they're with us. I wish I could keep them here with us. I'll be honest with you. And look at Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among, by the way, this is the first 7 deacons that are elected here at the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's important that preachers stay in the word. Can't be tracing around, doing a lot of other things. Not that the other things are important, but the word's most important. And you have to do your priorities. And saying, please, the whole multitude. And the saying, please, the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Would you circle that word, Antioch? By the way, it's the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Heavenly Father, I just pray now that, Lord, I believe you put this in my heart to preach about Antioch. And I thank you for that King James Bible class. It's been a real blessing. Pray that you'll just continue to bless that Thursday night King James Bible class. And Lord, use Brother David to teach it and edify the people with the scripture. And Father, I just pray that today you'd help me be a blessing, not only this morning service, but, and Lord, even in the evening service. But help me right now, Father. These people are here. Father, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Help me to raise you up, and may Christ be glorified in everything we say. And Lord, may Christians look up to you and be encouraged. And may lost people come to you and know you as Savior. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In these verses that we just read, there are several important facts. And there are many first. How many like being first place? Well, there's many first here. And I'm going to point out a few things to you. And then I'm going to give you a few points about Antioch. Jesus said, just stay there in Acts, by the way. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18 that I will build my church. Brother David was preaching this morning about God's church, how Jesus started a church, and I believe he started a Baptist church. And I believe, he said, I will establish my church. And when you read Acts chapter 6, one thing you plainly see in Acts chapter 6, that there is a Baptist, established, growing Baptist church in Jerusalem. I mean, that's evident from the scriptures. So here you recorded First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Then number two, we see the first seven deacons elected. The first seven deacons elected. By the way, did you notice why they were elected? I thank God we have got great deacons here. And I'd like to add, in 2009, I'd like to add some more men. I really would. And but they're not there to tell the preacher what to do. They're to help the preacher. And by the way, our deacons don't tell me what, they stand with me. But notice what the reason they got deacons. Look at verse 2. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. And they said, it's not reason that we should lead the word of God and serve tables. In other words, all the running around and doing, somebody else could do that. The preacher could be studying and praying. Look at verse 4. But we will give ourselves, the preachers, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Nothing's more important to this ministry than the preachers of this ministry, myself and others who are with me, that we spend time with God. If I don't spend no time with God, I'm not going to be able to tell you too many things. If I'm busy doing this and doing that, and not having what the Lord wants, then I can't tell you. If God's not telling me anything, I can't tell you. See, I got to get it from God, then give it out to you. Notice, look at the qualifications of the deacons. Verse 3. Brethren, look out among you seven men. I like that seven. God's perfect number is seven. Seven men. By the way, they already had 3,000 people there, more than that. So don't think that, you know, a church running 45 should have seven deacons. Not against having more than seven deacons, but they only had 3,000. They had over 3,000, and they only had seven deacons. So you don't have to have thousands of deacons, but it is good to have some men around you. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report. Notice, they got number one, they have to have an honest report. Number two, they need to be full of the Holy Ghost. And number three, they need to have some wisdom. Hello? In other words, you've got to have seasoned men. Men that walk with God, men that know God, men that that are established in the faith of Christ, and that walk with Christ. Then you can appoint these over the business. Amen? And so I want you to notice these are the this is the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, like electing their first deacons. Are you seeing all the first? And by the way, did you notice the first man mentioned, Stephen? He's the first martyr. He's the first recorded martyr. There's all kinds of firsts here. Hold your hand there in Acts chapter 7. Look at the first one they mentioned is, notice in verse Is it five? Yeah. The home altar, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. How many see that? First deacon elected was Stephen. All right, well, many of you know the Bible. Over in Acts chapter 7, you notice that Stephen took a stand for Christ and he was stoned to death. If you look at verse 55, how many see Acts 7, 55? But he being first of the Holy Ghost, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. He actually saw him. Hallelujah. What an exciting thing. And they cried out with a voice, loud voice, stop their ears. They couldn't stand it, the lost people. And they ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. First time the word Saul is used, and we know who Saul is. He becomes the Apostle Paul. So this first deacon called Stephen, who's the first recorded martyr in the Bible, in the New Testament, are you with me? Also, the first time Saul is mentioned. Isn't there a lot of first? Are you still with me? Then it also mentions Philip as the second one in Acts chapter 8, verse 5. If you'll notice, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I'm in 8:5 right now. By the way, I'm going to talk to you about how God scattered the church. That's how come Antioch came to be. But here you got the first disciple that was scattered recorded here with Philip. There's a lot of first here, amen? And then I just want you to notice also, look at verse in Acts chapter, go back to Acts chapter 6 and look at verse 5, the last, and Nicholas, the very last sentence there, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Interesting that in these first seven deacons, the seventh man mentioned was from Antioch, which is the city where God's going to build a great church. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes. And by the way, did you notice that word Antioch there also? Ever since Brother Davis did that study with Antioch and Alexander, he actually showed me some things that I knew about, but he actually brought up more to life that I never saw before. Did it? Every Thursday night from 7 to 9, he's teaching here in the Bible Institute. It costs you nothing but to show up. And there's a great distinction between Antioch and Alexandria. And someday I'm going to have you do that, son. I'd like this whole church to hear you do that. And I took a study on that word Antioch. Antioch. And I found it 18 times in the New Testament. And that's the first time it's recorded, the word Antioch, this about the city Antioch. Now, let me just give you a little background about Antioch, and then I'm going to give you some things about this great city that God brought a good fundamental church, one of the greatest Baptist churches that ever was, seriously. The city of Antioch was in Syria. Did you get your map? I ran that map off you for you. I like seeing things. When I see things, I can understand it better. How many see the map? I even put yellow highlighter where it says Antioch. How many see that? And our color copier copies it, so I only had to do it on one thing and just copied all the rest of them. See Jerusalem below it? So Antioch is up in Syria, and it's north of Jerusalem. And roughly, I don't know exactly, but I think it's around 200 to 250 miles. About 250 miles estimated from Jerusalem to Antioch is about 250 miles. And the reason I'm showing you that, in a few minutes I'm going to show you some scripture, what the Bible says, and that shows you how far they scattered. And then when I talk, quote you these other things, you'll see it on your map. But Antioch was about 250 miles north of Jerusalem, so off the Mediterranean Sea. It's about 15 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. But there's a river, Tom. There's a river that comes in from the Mediterranean Sea right into that. It's called Orontes River. And that's where it was built, on the banks of the Orontes Rivers. It was a fertile valley. It had mountains, all shielded mountains around it. The city of Antioch. They call it the majestic snow-covered mountains. And it was called Antioch, the beautiful, the golden. And so everything about Antioch, people loved. It was a great place to live. Matter of fact, they said in the first century, they estimate populations in the first century, 500,000. That's a 500,000 people. That's a lot of people, Mike, especially back over 2,000 years ago. Amen? The Romans were in 65 B.C. before Christ, 65 years before Christ. The Romans were in, took captivity of all that area, and they were in charge. And they were so impressed with Antioch that they made Antioch the capital province of Syria. In other words, they made that a capital city, Antioch. And just for fun, I throw this in there. In 1916, there people were excavating out there by Antioch, and some Arab people found a what we call a chalice, a silver cup. Are you with me? And on that silver cup, on the outside, it was all silver with a silver base, but on the outside was all engraved with leaves and branches and the 12 apostles with Christ at the Lord's Supper. Now, they right away, of course, you know how people want to be. They said, "We found the Holy Grail, the cup that Jesus actually drank from." I don't believe that. But then they said, "Well, most scholars believe it's probably from the 4th or 5th century." And I could see it, after Christ did that, the early church in Antioch, people making replicas, you know, to signify Christ at the Last Supper. How many are still with me? And so I can't hardly, you know, it'd be hard for me to believe that was the original one. But hey, who knows? But there is, what I'm saying is the history, they're finding artifacts proving out what the Bible says. Amen? And you can't go wrong with that King James Bible. You know, history's still trying to catch, and scientifics are still trying to catch up with the Bible. I want to share with you a few, it's 11:30, I want to share a few things with you about Antioch now. Number one, the first, Acts 6:5 is the first time the word Antioch is used in the Bible. Number two, if you look at Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the reason I'm going to share this, Lizzie, I want Bethel to be like Antioch. I'm going to tell you right now, John, Antioch was, when you read about Antioch, it was one of the most exciting, pumped-up churches going forward for God. And I want Bethel Baptist to be like Antioch. Amen? Notice Acts 11:26. "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass," by the way, that's talking about they brought the Apostle Paul there, "to the whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Now that word Christian's been going down through the centuries. Christ-like Christians. And its origin and its beginnings started at Antioch. Your Bible came from Antioch. Now I know it came from God. Don't misunderstand me. But they made sure we had the pure text. Are you with me? And so, number two, even the name Christians were first called at Antioch. Number three, I said number one, the first time mentioned Antioch was in Acts 6:5. I said number two, Acts 11:26, Christians were, disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Number three, remember also one of those first deacons. Remember the first deacons at the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem was from Antioch. Number four, Antioch was the first Gentile church because Jerusalem was Jews. How many are with me? Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. I'll just be in the book of Acts. So if you'll just stay in Acts with me, I'm doing a lot of teaching today. And a lot of times I do a lot of preaching, but today is teaching, and you need to hear these. And I'm not gonna say anything that's gonna get you all excited, but I'm telling you, I think we need to understand and study the word. Amen. Acts 8:1. Saul was, you know, who's Saul? That's Apostle Paul before he got saved. This is when he was killing Christians, putting Christians in jail, getting warrants for their arrest. And by the way, Saul was there and consented unto Stephen's death. Who said you can't be a murderer and go to heaven? Because Paul's the one that ordered his death. He allowed it. So Paul was really Saul before he turned into Paul. God changed his name. God changed his name, and you in the book of Romans know why he did. Because in Acts 13, his first recorded convert was a Gentile, Sergius Paulus, and he's the first recorded Gentile convert of Paul, and God always gave him that name Paul to always remind Paul that he was sent to the Gentiles. Acts 9:15 says he's a chosen vessel sent to the Gentiles. Are you still with me? That Romans class was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And notice Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church. By the way, no one likes persecution, but persecution brings the best out of people. We might have persecution in the future. I don't know. I don't want any. And I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Listen to me. But every time the church, you read this, you study, every time there was persecution, Christians rally. Notice, and there's a reason for it. God has to do things sometimes to make us do what he wants us to do. Remember in Acts 1:8, he said, go to Jerusalem and all parts of the world, Judea, Samaria. But what they did, Brother Brian, they started that first church. That was a Baptist church. First Baptist church. The first Baptist church was in Jerusalem. Jesus was the founder. But what they did, Brother David, the Jews didn't want to leave Jerusalem. So God had to do something to make them scatter. Because they weren't getting the word out, Brother Eddie. They were just having a big old time in Jerusalem, but they weren't taking the word out, Brother Mike. And God said, I want the whole world to know about it, not just Jerusalem. Well, Saul was consenting unto his death. At the time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. I'm in Acts 8:1. And they were, who's they? All the disciples. All the members of that church in Jerusalem. They were all what? Scattered abroad. They finally did what God told them to do back in Acts chapter 1. Are you with me? They were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. He said, if they would have did it, they probably wouldn't have had the persecution. But he said, okay, I know how to make you do things. Except apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made him lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hauling men and women committed to them to prison. No wonder they got... How many of you ever watched the Three Stooges? Okay. I kind of think it was almost like, you know, remember how they used to run... Mike, when Paul started going to every one of these houses, these Christians at Jerusalem, they said, we better get out of here. We're going to have to go to jail. And so they... And they went to Samaria, and they went to this, and they went there. Boy, it's amazing how we can do things when we have to do it. We just got to get our have to. We just have to get our want to do it. We can do a lot of things if we want to. There's an old saying my preacher used to tell me. People say, I can't, preacher, I can't. All you got to do is got to get your can fixed. Hello? And... we can do all things through Christ. I can't go on soul winning. I can't do this. I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And I'm not mimicking the the elect president. But we can. Yes, we can. He had that statement way before he was running. Amen? We can. Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Now notice. By the way, we ought to pray for Mr. Obama. He's got a mess in front of him. So, let's pray for him. He needs all the prayers. Hey, the higher in Romans 13:1 says that the powers that be are ordained of God. God allowed Mr. Obama to be president. So we need to pray for him. I didn't vote for him, but I'm going to pray for him. Hello? By the way, he's going to be running our country. You better offer up prayers for him. The Bible says in Timothy we're to offer up prayers for our kings and those in authority. Okay, I'm getting off what I'm trying to do here in Antioch. Now I lost. I'm over in Acts 8, right? And Paul made havoc, hauling men and women, committing them to prison. And because of that, look at verse 4. Therefore, they were scattered. All the disciples, all the Christians at Jerusalem, man, they got out of there. It's either get out of there or go to jail. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere. They went everywhere. That's exactly what God wanted. Preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached the Christ unto them. It's amazing how God can get glory out of persecution. Romans 8:20, all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, God can get good out of anything if you look at it right. It's not good that people had to go to jail. It's not good that people were killed. It's not good. But by through that, good came from it. If you wouldn't have put the persecution on them, they would have never been out doing the work of God, which God wanted. And that little map that you got, then all those people would have never scattered. And all those cities that you got on there, all those thousand people that got saved would have never got reached because they would all been still having their little fellowship in Jerusalem. Hello? Look at Acts chapter 11. Following up on this scattering. Look at Acts 11:19. Now when they were scattered abroad, remember Acts 8:1-4? This is telling you about, it's picking that theme up. How many are with me? Are you still with me? I'm in Acts 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad, those people at Jerusalem that were Christians, they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose upon Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Wow. But don't keep reading. But keep reading. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which were, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Uh-oh, now we're starting to get some Gentiles involved here. Are you with me? And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Hallelujah! Man, there was people saved, and Antioch was one of them. Are you still with me, church? Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. Hey, there's a bunch of people that got saved up in Antioch in different places. That they should send forth, Jerusalem, sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Wow. Verse 23, who when he came, and he came from the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem, Barnabas, he had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. They're starting to form this church, Mark, in Antioch. And for he was a good man, this Barnabas, who the first Jerusalem sent, First Baptist Church, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to for to seek Saul. Because remember, Saul got saved in Acts chapter 9. How many are still with me? And when he found the Apostle Paul, when he found him, talking about Paul, he brought him to Antioch. So Barnabas and Saul went to, Barnabas took the Apostle Paul to Antioch. Look it. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and they taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. How many see that? Now, remember what I told you what God said about the Apostle Paul? He was an apostle to who? The Gentiles. And God actually brought him in the beginning to spend a whole year at Antioch. Are you with me? Antioch was the first Gentile church. First Gentile Baptist church. Are you with me? How many are with me yet? What you got to understand is this. Look up here. Everybody look up here. The Apostle Paul made three missionary journeys plus another journey to Rome. Are you with me? All those places that the missionaries went, that Paul went and those other, they established churches. Guess where Paul was sent out of? Antioch. Antioch is the mother of the Gentile churches. I know Jerusalem's the mother of us all. Are you still with me? This church has indebtedness to the Apostle Paul and the church at Antioch. Read with me Acts 13, 1 through 3. I hope I'm not boring you. And now there was in the church that, I'm in 13, 1 of Acts. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. How many see that? Where's the church at? Antioch. Barnabas, Simeon, Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." And we know Saul, eventually his name, who? Paul. "And for the work wherein I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Succoth, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. How many see that? What do you got here, Mark? You got the first missionaries. First missionaries, Brother Eddie, sent out of Antioch. There's a church. They got the idea. It's important to have missionaries. This first Gentile church, Antioch, said, "Man, it's not enough for us to know it, Brother Andrew. We want everybody to know it." And so they started sending out missionaries. I'm glad we have missionaries sent out from this church. Amen? Paul made three journeys. And so, by the way, if you have your paper, I put those on there. If you have, you can follow, you can study that. I got Paul's three missionary journeys. You can see the places where he went there. Now look at also number this church at Antioch was taught to be soul winners. Look at Acts 14. Look at Acts 14, 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out." By the way, you might want to put there 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4. This is where Paul said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, above 14, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. That's where it happened. This is where Paul left his body, went to the third heaven. This is what this is talking about. And drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up." He talks about it in 2 Corinthians 12, how he was out of the body, whether in body, I cannot tell, but he was caught up in the third heaven. What they're talking about is what he talked about in 2 Corinthians 12, about going to, when Paul went up to the third heaven. "Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, and they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and to where? Look at verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith. And we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. He said, man, it's rough out there, but one thing, we want a lot of people to Christ. This was a soul-winning church, and these men taught them to soul win. Now we get excited. Hey, we got two, we got five, we got seven. We got another person saved, another person. Mike, that's how they did the same thing. In other words, we learned from them. They were concerned about souls going to hell. Boy, we ought to have a concern for people going to hell. You know, Pastor Dave alluded to this morning in Sunday school. And Black Friday, I think it was over in New York at Walmart. A young man was killed. People broke the doors down. Literally took it off the hinges and broke the doors down and stomped this kid and literally killed a man over some little toy or some of those things that they bought. No doubt would be busted by the first day that they give it out. And by the way, what value does it have anyways? A man lost his life because of a before or after Thanksgiving sale. And I thought about it. And they broke the doors down to buy something that was temporal. We're giving away free salvation, eternal life, eternal heaven, mansions that never perish or go away. With no thieves and robbers, doesn't rust or even no one steals them. That last. For trillions and trillions of eon of time. I had a couple yesterday ask Christ to come in here and say, I know they don't realize it, but they actually grabbed hold of eternal life. For trillions of years in eternity, they're going to be up in heaven. Hallelujah. Walking streets of gold and mansions of glory. Hallelujah. I don't care how great of a place you have here, how low of a place you have. This is not where we got to worry about. It's eternity. There they broke down and killed to buy something temporal that they had to pay for. They ought to be breaking the doors down here, Bill. Yes. And it's eternal. And it's unpurchasable. It's beyond money. Boy, the world just don't have it right, do they? You know why they don't have it right? Because we don't get excited as Christians. They don't see you ought to be going out, man, I'm happy, I'm saved. When you go to work, they say, how you doing? You'll say, man, it's good to be alive. Good to be alive. I bet some of you, they say. By the way, when they ask you how you feel, they don't really care. They're just doing it to be polite and say, oh, please, don't let them go on like you did yesterday. I know it's about as bad knee, as bad headache, and as bad, arm. And why can't, doesn't this guy ever have one good day? But man, we all say, man, I feel great. I'm saved. Jesus is coming back. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to get a brand new body, and baby, I need one. Amen, huh? I'm going to get, Rick, we're going to get brand new bodies. I mean, full set of choppers and everything. A lot of you are laughing. You ain't got them either. They're false that you got inside there. I'm still working with a partial. Working on a full, though. One day that's going to happen. Brother Kativer, people ought to be breaking the doors down to hear about this because this is real. See, those people back in Antioch, they knew it was real. They were excited, and they wanted everybody else to have it. The average Christian today doesn't say one word to anybody. Some of you have worked with people for 15 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, and you've never said one thing to them. You've never prayed for him. You never gave him a tract. You never witnessed to him. You, matter of fact, you might have told bad jokes and laughed at bad jokes and made smutty remarks. And all they've ever heard out of you is curse words instead of us praising. You know, we ought to start praising God everywhere we go. I mean that. This world needs something. They need the love of God. And we as Christians, I'm convinced, I don't care, every person we meet, I'm going to preach on this tonight. Every person, I don't care who they are, we ought to show the love of God. What'd you say, that place you went, the HUD? The hood? Jesus, I'm going to preach tonight, Jesus would go to the hood. Yes, he would. Jesus would go to the hood. He would. We stop our noses up, but he would. He wouldn't. You know what? Why don't we get excited about what God's given us? I guarantee you, some of you, and I know it's almost 5 or 12, and I'm not getting done with it, but I'm going to put this on you because this is more important. Some of you might have went to that. You know, years ago I went to that with Shannon and a couple of the kids from our house. I went one time, Grandma, to that after Thanksgiving thing. Oh, my lands. They, first of all, I almost got killed by women. I don't fear too many men. I really don't. But I fear women. I ain't kidding you. Charlie, watch out. Those women can do a whole lot more damage than those men do. John, I'm looking at this item. I'm in the middle. I'm in this little aisle. I'm at Walmart. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm just looking, Lizzie. I didn't even have my hands on. I'm just looking at it. Two women said, "How dare you? That's me. I had it first." She said, "No, I had it first." And I said, they said, "What do you think you're doing?" I said, "I'm just looking." And that's what I did. And I went home, and I told Rosie, "You'll never get me, ever. I don't care. Never." Like, they had one of those shopping bags for $15. And I thought about going down there, and I thought about it, and I said, "Nah, I'd rather pay $30 and not have to go down there." But you know what? I guarantee you people will go there, and they'll stay on the TV. 2 days before they open at one of those electronic old Bargain City or Best Buy, they were pitching tents. They were pitching tents. They were pitching tents, Brother Mike, in the cold. So they would be first in line to buy a computer or something. There ain't no computer worth that much to me. And by the way, if you did it, God bless you. Let me tell you something. But people no doubt called and said, "Man, I got four of those, whatever they bought." And they don't realize they lost out on the greatest thing, that's free. How many are here today that's never trusted Christ? You think you got some great deals, and you missed out on the greatest deal, going to heaven and not going to hell. And you got it for free. By the way, there was a cost to it. Jesus paid for it, though. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross. Let me close this out. It's 12 o'clock. They were soul winners. But also, if you look at Acts 14, they were church planters. They were church planters. Man, I love this. Look at verse 23. "And when they had ordained them elders in every church," Mark, they planted churches. "And they prayed and fasted. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." How many see that? And look at verse 26. "And thence they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." They went back to their home church and said, "Hey, man, you sent us out. We planted a whole bunch of churches. Here's the report. And we got more churches started." That's New Testament preaching. Amen? That's a great church. A church that's excited about their Savior. A church that's about, if you're not excited about missionaries, you're not New Testament. If you're not excited about planting churches, you're not New Testament. If you're not excited about getting the gospel out, man, you got problems. Because it was the gospel that got us saved. I'm going to close with this thought. Every time you hear about the church at Antioch, they were excited about their Savior. How excited are you about your Savior? By the way, does your excitement flow over to other people like theirs did at Antioch? They were excited about telling others about Jesus. Will you tell others about Christ? How great is your excitement for them? Will it be enough to tell others? They were excited about establishing new churches and sending missionaries. Are you excited about missionaries and establishing new churches? And then lastly, finally, the church at Antioch, they sent help to other churches. They even sent help to Jerusalem. The mother church of all, they actually sent help to them. The finances and everything, they helped them. They were a giving church. What I want you to see, they were a giving church. You know what, I'm going to tell you something. We're so blessed. You know, we're getting ready, and I'm glad they started to bring it up. We're getting near Christmas. Christmas is not about Christmas presents. Christmas is about Christ. I told that young couple yesterday, they had a beautiful home. They put up a real pretty Christmas tree, and they were decorating it. And I said, you know, Christmas really, it's not about Walmart after Thanksgiving sales. I don't even know why they call it Black Friday. There has to be a reason. I tell you one thing, before people are being dying, I know it's a sad Friday. But I said, the truth about Christmas is that Christ came for us. And Christ came down for every person in the world. You're here today, Christ came for you. God wants every person in the world to have a Christmas present. And God's Christmas present to the world was the Son of God, Jesus. He's the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I said, why don't you just take his gift? And they both asked Christ to save them and took the gift of God. They got the greatest Christmas present you ever could get. And see, I know it's fun stacking up presents for the kids and stuff. And being a kid, you like getting them. But that's not what all Christmas is about. Christmas is about Jesus coming so you don't have to die and go to hell. Christmas is about coming because he loved you so much. We that are unlovely, he loved the unlovely and willing to sacrifice and suffer and shed his blood so you and I could have eternal life. I told that young couple, and I'll close with this. I showed him in the scripture how as far east as west, that's how far their sins are gone. I showed them in Hebrews that God, and I'll remember your sins, remember them no more. You know, Christmas is about you can have all your sins forgiven and forgotten and never brought up again. It's so exciting. And see, we always try to show sin as black, but that's not true. The Bible says in Isaiah, though our sins are crimson red. This is the closest red I can show you. Our sins are red. And the Bible says in Isaiah 1:18 that he makes us white as snow. See, my sins are still there. I'm still a whole rotten sinner. Jesus just covered them with his blood. And they say if you put red on red, it turns white. You look through a prism, it turns white. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus making me white as snow. There's no Walmart, JCPenney, Macy's, Sears, Kmart, you name any store you want. Target, Tops, none of them have got the gift of Christ. And this church at Antioch, they got it. They got excited about it. And they went out and gave it to everybody else. Antioch. First Gentile church. First bunch of West Virginians. And Syria. Amen. By the way, I love West Virginia. I'm never making for. You can't find a better person from West Virginia. Make the best wives, by the way. And you get your gal from West Virginia, you got you a keeper, buddy. Look up here. What about us? Do we want to be like Antioch? I do. I want Bethel Baptist to be like Antioch. I want our church to be like the church from Antioch. By the way, we have the bloodstream from. Our bloodstream flows back to that. What about you? Are you saved? Are you excited that you are? Are you telling others? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for loving us. Thank you for this great church, the Antioch, Church of Antioch. A church that the Apostle Paul spent a whole year in. A church that sent the Apostle Paul out and other missionaries. A church that believed in soul winning. A church that got excited about their Savior. A church that promoted soul winning. A church that promoted missionaries. A church that promoted planting new churches. A church that preached the gospel, that was not ashamed of it. And Lord, I just pray that Bethel would be like Antioch. May Bethel Baptist Church have the characteristics of the church of the Baptist, First Baptist Church in Antioch. And may our people be excited. May our people be excited like those people were. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, don't be deceived. You're not on your way to heaven. You must be born again to get to heaven. You must know Christ as your personal Savior. If you die without a Savior, you die and go to hell. But Jesus said it's not His will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Today, you're here and you never trusted Christ as your Savior. I wouldn't delay no more. I'd come to the wonderful Savior that loves you and died for you. Let Him embrace you. Invite Him into your home, in your life, your heart, like these couple did yesterday. They said, "Come into my heart, Jesus, and be my Savior." You need to invite Him into your heart, your life. You ought to put your faith in Him today, now. How many could say, "Pastor, I've already done that. I know for a fact I'm saved. I know that if I died, I'd go to heaven because I put my faith in Christ." Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. I know it for a fact. Thank you. You may put them down. Would there be some today that said, "Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" Anyone like that at all? "Pastor, pray for me. Let me." I see that hand. Yes. God bless you. Who else? "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm not talking about being a Baptist. No church can get you to heaven. I'm not talking about being baptized. No baptism can get you to heaven. Got nothing to do with it. Salvation is one-on-one, you and Jesus. He's the only way that can get you to heaven. Not being a good person, not being a bad person, not giving money, not being a member of a church, not being baptized, just knowing Him as Savior, putting faith in Him, what He did for you. Died for your sins, and rose for you. He's in heaven now, reigning, getting ready to return. Pray for me." Who'd say that? "I need to be saved. Pray for me." Anyone like that? Yes, I see that hand. Before I pray, how many would say, "Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I've not been telling people lately. I've kind of lost that joy. Pray for me." Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. "I lost the joy, preacher. A lot of people wouldn't even know I'm a Christian, the way I act." "Oh, you're the light of the world. Let men see your good works," the Bible says in Matthew 5, "that men might see and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Father, I pray with all my heart, Christians would be exhorted, encouraged to serve you and to tell the world We have a lost world that needs to hear about Christ. Help us to take the love of Christ, the joy of Christ, the promises of Christ, the plan of God to the whole world. And I pray for Christians that are discouraged, that you'd encourage them, that you'd lift them up. And if there'd be anywhere that's lost, may today be the day they ask Christ to save them. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on?